Now comes Christmas, where we celebrate the Babe of Bethlehem. Wonderful time of year, isn't it? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Loving, unique, divine, this babe was, one of a kind. Our Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and this babe was a Jew. He was born in Israel, divinely begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. In Bethlehem of Judea, the place of birth so traditionally Jewish, it gave the world, Bethlehem did, so many great Jews, like David, and the place that marks the birth of Jesus, the Church of the Nativity, remains even today Israeli protected, no matter the agreements with the Palestinians. To visit that church, to go deep into the ground, is to feel so very much the very manger that was there 2,000 years ago, when Christ, the Jew, was born. We, my fellow Christians, worship a Jew. He came as a special divine witness to the Jews. His ministry and miracles were done with and among the Jews. Only later was the divine covenant for salvation and inclusion extended to the Gentiles. We, the Gentiles, were grafted onto the Jewish tree of life, a branch dependent upon the root and the trunk of the tree of life, and that was Jewish. We believe that this babe was God-man, and the man part of Jesus born in Bethlehem was Jewish. We, my fellow Christians, worship a Jew. Never forget that. The growing Jesus of Nazareth was steeped in Jewish tradition. His father's family trade was carpenter, builder, and the Jewish Jesus learned that trade himself. He understood his heritage and participated in his culture. He observed Jewish holidays and holy days. Gospel passages are thrilling, inspiring, when Jesus talks about going up to Jerusalem, to celebrate Passover. He knew, and he respected, and he profited personally from the Passover experience. The Babe of Bethlehem, having become man, even taught in that special holy temple in Jerusalem. He witnessed to the people, presented to them a new covenant, and they were amazed at his learning and his brilliance and his elocution. They wondered among themselves how this young man, the son of the carpenter from Nazareth, could have become so learned and so wise. Many never really understood his true identity, his divine nature, but they were filled with respect and awe for him, for what he did, and for what he taught. Many accused this Son of God of attempting to overthrow the law, the Jewish law. In fact, the scribes, the Pharisees, and Sadducees wanted him killed for what they called his blasphemies. But Jesus made it clear that he came not to negate or overturn the law, but to fulfill the law, the Jewish law, to give it new meaning, to take it to the next level of Messiah, to bring the new dimension of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness in a brand new way, a human way divinely inspired. The law, the Jewish law, was made whole, fulfilled, completed in him. The Babe of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth, came as the Son of Man. That title he used for himself over and again. But he was more appropriately the Son of God, that special divine ambassador who takes away the sins of the world. He made it clear that the law, the traditions, even the Sabbath itself, were made for man, and that mankind was not made for them. He did miraculous things for the rich and the poor, for the lame and the halt, for the well and the strong. He healed over and again, and he challenged with a message never heard before. He made people think, and think uniquely. He created a new sense of inadequacy, a new consciousness of emotional and spiritual need, and he brought to them the message of salvation and forgiveness. The people were ready to crown him king, but he was ready to die for them. He was one of as many as 7 or 8 siblings, including 4 brothers, Simon, Judas, James, and Joseph, and several sisters, unfortunately unnamed by Scripture. He grew up a member of a large family, and early on, perhaps as young as even 12, taught in the temple, challenging the scribes and exhibiting a knowledge of Jewish law and traditions which amazed even them. In those days, his mother Mary never really understood him nor his calling, but her influence in his life was apparent, and at the end, there was wonderful love and loving exchanges between mother and son. This Son of Man, of Mary and Joseph, this Son of God, was a true Son of Man. He came not for himself, but to do the will of his Father. He was sent a special ambassador, as a witness and example. No man had ever seen God, of course, but to see him and to know him was to know the Father. We were, he told us, made in the Father's likeness, and that, though our human minds could never begin to understand, we would have access through prayer and meditation through this Son of Man to God the Father. Incredible, isn't it? Small wonder that the religious powers hated him and his message and wished him killed. Although on the one hand fulfilling, this man and his message were deeply polarizing, shocking, revolutionary in so many ways. The babe of Bethlehem challenged, called out the sin and hypocrisy of that day and age, and especially the hypocrisy, and identified so much of religion as kept, controlled, and interpreted by men he dared to call vipers, whited sepulchres, and of course hypocrites, but some pretty strong language, don't you think? This carpenter of Nazareth, even as he might tear down the spiritual house of those who built upon the sand, built his own upon the rock, a spiritual edifice for that time and forevermore. So many of his teachings, especially those in parables, came from a carpenter mentality. The house, the home, were used over and over again. Foundations were important. Splinters and blocks of wood became the stuff of parables unforgettable. But no matter any earthly home, he made it clear that he came to ultimately prepare for all those who loved and believed a heavenly home, where forgiven and trusting, we, his disciples, would live with him forevermore. We who do believe, some 2,000 years later, trust that promise and often look longingly for that promised heavenly home. Don't you? Jesus readily participated in the feasts and fastings of Jewish tradition. He fasted, we are told, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. How that is possible is beyond human comprehension. But he joyfully participated in feasts. He ate well, and he drank wine, and he thoroughly enjoyed the good life of the times. He ate, he feasted with publicans and sinners, and how wonderful it would have been had some of the good fun and humor, which obviously occurred, been included in Scripture. He told us that he came so that our joy might be full, that we would live abundant lives, and that all things were lawful, all things were lawful, even if some were not expedient. Live life to the fullest because of me, he said, and enjoy the short time you are here. Never be embarrassed to live life and to the fullest. Never. And he wept, this Jesus the Jew did, and he cried real tears as any man would or should. He felt deeply, so very deeply, perhaps more so than any other man then or since. He knew the hearts of mankind, men and women, perhaps because his own heart was so big and all-inclusive. And he laughed, and he felt joy, and he relished in happiness, and though he dealt with the needs of people, he shared the good times with them with laughter and joy. Jesus the Jew came first as a ministry, a mission, and a messenger to the Jews. Whether acknowledged as such or not, he came as the Messiah, the one promised in Scripture and sent of God. He came first to the Jews and then to the Greeks, the Gentiles. His poignant and pungent exchange between the Samaritan woman indicated his love for all humankind. And because of her Gentile faith, he met her needs, a clear sign that the Christ of glory came for everyone. And he boldly asserted, this special Jew did, that he was in fact the way, the truth, and the life. No one, he even more boldly stated, could come to the Father except through him. There's no other way. That, of course, was then, and even perhaps more so today, a major stumbling block for people of all other religions and beliefs. But it remains today a rock upon which the belief system of all Christians is built. There is no other way. He came to die, Jesus did, and die he did, a brutal, cruel, agonizing death on the cross. As man, he never wanted that, and in fact even asked the Father to relieve him of his mission. But then, knowing who he was and why he came, he willingly, even perhaps somewhat joyfully and gladly, ended his life upon the cross, knowing what that would mean to humankind. That death of his was salvation and forgiveness perfected. Crucifixion Friday may have been the saddest day in history, but then came Sunday. And from the tomb in which he was buried, he arose and was seen, and he fellowshipped, and he ate, and that he did for some 40 days. He ascended, as says the Apostles' Creed, to the Father, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, waiting for that special timing sure to come. He will return. And all the world, say the Scriptures, all the world, will acknowledge him and worship him. And that will fulfill the angelic promise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all humankind. This Son of Man, this Son of God, was a Jew, steeped in Jewish tradition, understanding, loving, and fulfilling the law. The babe of Bethlehem we celebrate at Christmas was indeed born to us as a Savior. He was, in fact, Christ the Lord, and he is our eternal hope now and forevermore, thank God. Remember once again, my fellow Christians, that we who believe worship the Son of Man, who is himself a Jew. We should respect, love, and protect and defend all who are Jewish, his descendants. The babe wrapped in swaddling clothes was Jewish. Again, remember that so very well when you shout with the angels at Christmas time, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all humankind.